film is called Elegy with a Bridle in Its Hand. One was a bay cow horse from Piedra, and the other was a washed out palomino. And both stood at the rail of the corral, and both went on aging, and each effortless tail swish, the flies rising, then congregating again around their eyes and muzzles and withers. Their front teeth were by now yellow as antique piano keys and slanted to the angle of shingles on the maze of sheds and barns around them. Their puckered chins were round and black as frostbitten oranges hanging unpicked from the limbs of trees all through winter, and like a comment of winter itself on everything that led up to it, and gradually found the way out again. In the slowness of time, rind the blossom. Deity is in the details, and we are details among other details, and we long to be teased out of ourselves and become all of them. The bay had worms once and had acquired the habit of drinking orange soda from an up-tilted bottle and nibbling cookies from the flat of a hand, and liked to do nothing else now. And the palomino liked to do nothing but gaze off at traffic going past on the road beyond vineyards, and it would follow each car with a slight turning of its neck back and forth, as if each car was a thing of great interest to it. If I rode them, the palomino would stumble and wheeze when it broke into a trot and would relapse into a walk after a second or two and then stop completely and without cause. The bay would keep going, though it creaked underneath me like a rocking chair of dry, frail wood. And when I knew it could no longer continue but did so anyway, or when the palomino would stop and then take only a step or two when I nudged it forward again, I would slip off, whichever one it was, and walk it slowly back, letting it pause when it wanted to. At dawn in winter, sometimes there would be a pane of black ice covering the surface of the water trough, and they would nudge it with their noses or muzzles and stare at it as if they were capable of wonder or bewilderment. They were worthless. They were the motionless dusk and the motionless moonlight, and in moonlight they were other worlds, worlds uninhabited and without visitors, worlds that would cock an ear a moment when the migrant workers came back at night to the sheds they were housed in and turn a radio on, but only for a moment before they went back to whatever wordless and tuneless preoccupation involved them. The palomino was called Misfit, and the bay was called Querido Flaco, and the names of some of the other shapes had been Rockabye and Ojo Pendejo and Cueball and Backdoor Peter and French Fry and Sandman and Rolling Ghost and Anastasia. Death would come for both of them with its bridle of clear water in hand, and they would not look up from grazing on some patch of dry grass, nor even acknowledge it much. And for a while I began to think that the world rested on a limitless ossuary of horses, where their bones and skulls stretched and fused until only the skeleton of one enormous horse underlay, the smoke of cities and the cold branches of trees and the distant whine of traffic on the interstate. If I, and by implication, therefore, anyone looked at them long enough at dusk or in moonlight, he would know that the idea of heaven and of life everlasting with so much blown straw or momentary confetti at the unhappy wedding of a sister. Heaven was neither light, nor was it air. And if it took a physical form, it was splintered lumber no one could build anything with. Heaven was a weight behind the eyes. And one would have to stare right through it until he saw the air itself, just air, that clarity that took the shackles from his eyes and the taste of the bit from his mouth and knocked the rider off his back, so he might walk for once in his life, or just stand there for a moment until he became something else, some fly speck on the wall of a passing and uninterruptible history whose sounds claimed to be a cheering from bleachers but were actually no more than the noise of cars entering the mouth of a tunnel. And in the years that followed, he would watch them in the back stretch or the far turn at Santa Anita or Del Mar. Watch the way they made it all seem effortless. Watch the way they were explosive and untiring. And then watch the sun fail them again and slip from the world. And watch the stand slowly empty, as if all moments came back to this one. Inexplicably to this one, out of all he might have chosen. Heaven with ashes in its hair and filling what were once its eyes. This one with its torn tickets littering the aisles and the soft racket the wind made. This one, which was his. And if the voice of a broken king were to come in the night and whisper to all the world, who among the numberless you have become desires this moment, which comprehends nothing more than loss and fragility and the fleeing of flesh? He would have to look up from the thousands of empty seats surrounding him and stare up into the dark and say, me, I do, it's mine.